It's the crack of dawn. I've just driven through beautiful Kent on the way to Rolvenden for a very special piece of recording today. So I've driven through some beautiful parts of Kent, through Goudhurst, Sissinghurst, into Tendenden, through Biddenden, and then arriving at Rolvenden. I've just come up onto the platform here of the Kent and East Sussex Railway, and I'm strolling along. I can see the steam already being emitted from locomotives in the yard as the engineers prepare the locomotives ready for their day's service, and I'm going to be joining one of those teams on the footplate very, very shortly. The first thing you notice when you come onto any rail yard is the amount of preparation that goes in beforehand. And Brendan, you're the duty driver today on number 25 here, this Hunslet called Northium. There's a lot of preparation you're doing. You're greasing up various components at the moment.
Yes, basically I'm oiling, to be precise, every moving part of the locomotive. So the eccentrics, the coupling rods, the big end bearings, anything that looks like it could do with oil, you have to put oil in it.
It's a fascinating process, and I'm going to be invited to get in there in a minute and get dirty, as they say. Oh, yes, we do today.
Okay, we can do that later.
How many oil reservoirs are there on board?
No idea. I can count up for you. Oil pots, certainly. What I'm doing, I'm doing what's called the middle engine at the moment, the bit between the frames. So this side alone has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 oil boxes and various other oiling points that you just put oil in, where there's no trimmings or wicks or anything like that.
Oh, it's with this type of engine, the main drive gear, the pistons as such, are on the inside, not on the outside like some of the traditional engines.
That is correct. Yes, in my opinion, it makes them look aesthetically better, but it does protect the valve gear, because this engine, or this type of engine, would have worked in for the NCB coal mines. So probably at one time or another, it would end up on its side. And if you have all the delicate bits of the valve gear, when I say delicate, less robust in some respects, they would get damaged if it was all on the outside, so they put it all on the inside.
But well, I've got my safety boots on, I've got my reflective on, I've got my boiler suit on, got my gloves on, ready to go.
Yep, and we'll make sure that your orange jacket gets dirty.
So following on from the oiling, I've just caught up with Nathan. Now, Nathan, you're the duty fireman today.
I am indeed.
And there's parts of the engine you have to check as well, which is, yes, we're starting here with the sanders.
Well, first of all, what I'll say just before we do that, one of the most important things that we do is, as footplate crews, is that we book on to say that we're not drunk or anything, because that's quite important. And also as well, once we've met up with the driver, checked our daily log sheets to make sure that the engine's safe to run. We will then go up onto the engine, check our water gauge glasses and boiler is in good condition, the engine's in a safe condition, I will valve shut, regulator, reverse mid gear, drain cops open, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so currently we're now down here on the side of the engine, and we're just going to, like you said, test the sanders. So first of all, we want to open up our little hatch. There's loads of sand in here. The reason why trains need sand, even modern trains do, but they have a thing called sandite. It's a little bit different, a bit more high-tech. This is relatively normal sand compared to the other stuff. Rail on wheels, or wheel on rail, doesn't create a huge amount of friction, so when it starts drizzling, or is it a little bit icy conditions, sometimes rail adhesion can be a little bit tricky. So we require sand for our grip,
and that just drops in front of the lead wheels, and then you get that grip.
Yes, that's right. Yep. On this one, it's a steam operated sander, so basically it's gravity fed to a point from the sandbox all the way down the pipe, and then there's basically a steam jet that forces the steam and the sand out, and then obviously you get a good blast of sand going on the rail. Other engines, depending on its age, is normally just gravity fed.
So Brendan, up on the footplate now, what's got to be prepared here and checked?
Right, basically there's two lubricators in the cab. There's a hydrostatic lubricator, which puts steam condensing into water into a vessel, which then pushes the oil up, which then mixes with the steam off a separate feed, then goes down the pipe into the cylinders. That lubricates the inside of the cylinders. So I've just filled that up and now warming it up, because if it's cold it doesn't work.
And then we've got a little sight glass in front of it, a little valve, and we set that to 3-4 drops a minute. It varies from engine to engine. And the other lubricator is a straight displacement, which is basically on or off, which is for the steam brake. Because we're underneath us, we've got a large single-acting cylinder on a return spring that is the engine brakes. So in the cab, there's a lot less to oil up, thankfully. And there's a few little oiling points on glands for the regulator, reverser, things like that.
Okay, let's fill the oil in.
Yeah.
So we've got
With displacement lubricators or hydrostatic, in the morning, you've always got to drain out the water. Because the clue's in the name, the water displaces the oil, which then gets fed down to wherever you want to feed it.
Right, so the oil's going in now. We've freed that nut off, Brendan.
Yep, we've freed the nut off. We're draining out the water out the bottom, and now we're replacing it with oil. You basically fill it to the top, tighten up the filler cap at the top and the drain nut at the side, turn it on, and when the steam brake's in use, it lubricates the steam brake cylinder. This is very hit and miss, this one, but some lubrication is better than none. Otherwise, the cylinder will start sticking.
So it's nearly up to the top now, just coming up.
It's now full, so the last bit of preparation for me now, from oiling point of view, is the axle boxes, which I can do from the outside. Then I've got to do brake test, steam brake test. Nathan will do various checks with the gauge glasses, and then we'll be ready to go.
It's quite a lot to prepare a locomotive then, these checks before it goes off shed.
Absolutely. Part of the driving and the fireman's prep is to make sure the engine is safe and in good condition and ready to use. We don't just get on it and go. So when I was oiling up earlier, I'm actually checking for any missing split pins, any faults with the valve gear, any water in the oiling points, which I would have to remove. So yeah, the engine gets examined on a very frequent basis. Every day it's used. The steam razor would have examined internally the boiler as much as possible before lighting the fire. And then every 14 days it gets a mechanical, where fitter will crawl all over it and do various checks. And then after 28 days use, they get a full boiler washout, which is where we remove all the plugs, the water is drained and water is flushed through the boiler to remove any impurities. Because otherwise, if you're not careful, the steam engine boiler will fill up like your kettle at home.
Obviously this is our office for the day, so we want to try and get it as clean as possible. It being a steam engine, it's quite a difficult thing to achieve. We're going to do our best, and about another half hour or so of elbow grease, it will all be nice and clean.
So I've got my brush.
Yep, got your brush.
And just dab it on where it needs to be cleaned.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I'll start this side.
Yeah, I want to start on the cab.
On the cab paintwork itself.
Yep.
It's actually quite therapeutic.
It is. And then when we get the Brasso out later on, it'll be more therapeutic.
So we're rubbing on the paraffin at the moment to take the soot off.
Yes.
And then we rub it all down and clean it.
There's actually a paraffin and a tiny drop of oil, basically, which is for steam engines. We have all different types of oils. We have bearing oil, which is 220 grade, which is pretty much similar viscosity to other types of lubricating oil for various types of bearing applications. But steam engines does have quite a specialist oil called steam oil, which is big, thick, gloopy oil. It's like molasses. And the idea of that is because, of course, to lubricate the valves and the pistons, etc., on a steam engine, if you put in something like 220 or 2-in-1 oil or WD-40, it will go instantly gone, and there'll be no lubricating property. So this stuff is really, really thick and gloopy, and it actually sticks to the metal and does a good job.
Well, I'll keep applying it in copious amounts on this side.
Keep scrubbing away.
So off to take water, so we're going to move the locomotive now out onto the loop line.
Oh, clear this side.
There's
clear
the whistle. Outside. Gentle little regulator going on by Brendan as we edge our way forwards.
Yeah, the engine's still cold, so I'm blowing out the steam through the drain cocks at the bottom of the cylinders. Because water does not compress. And if we had got water caught in there, you would blow the cylinder covers off or crack the cylinders or bend valve gear. So in the morning, you're very gentle with the engine. This one's not too bad, but the prairie that's out there can be quite wet. So that's what we have drain cocks for. So that's why a steam engine, when they're setting off, has clouds of steam out the front end. That's because we're literally draining out water.
That's a different request for filling up with water now on the locomotive, because we've been instructed by the signalman we're going to go down and take the loop line.
Yep, that's correct, because Hastings will be coming back from Wittersham Road on test runs, probably while we're taking water.
That's the other locomotive.
That's the little blue one running around today, yeah.
Hello, Brendan, you got the road.
Where are we going, mate?
Shunt signal into the loop.
Shunt into the loop. The signal here is actually on Nathan's side, so he's my other. Starters at danger.
Correct. He is in there.
I suppose the key point in driving a railway steam locomotive like this is communication between driver and fireman at all times.
Absolutely. And a lot of it is unsaid. As the driver is constantly watching what the fireman is doing. Is he having a good day or she having a good day, bad day? Are they giving the steam where necessary? Is the water level right? Because I can only use what Nathan gives me. My driving has to adapt to the fireman's firing technique. So yeah, what you'll see during the day or hear during the day, well, you won't see it, but Neil will, is lots of communication between two of us that you won't, is not verbal. When Nathan's putting coal on, I'm keeping a mental picture of where he's firing. So I mentally fire the engine, Nate mentally and physically fires it.
And I've now got the job of letting the water go. It's filling her right up on the tank.
When you get it wide open, turn it back half a turn, that way the pump kicks in.
So there we go. It's a bit of a wait now. It's a big,
not much to go in.
Big tank.
What I'll do, Neil, I'll give it about to it's about a foot away, and I'll tell you to start slowly winding it down, but not yet.
Understood.
Right, Neil, start winding it down. Quickly.
Off.
So it's a rite of passage to do that. You're now officially an engineman.
So the gates are open, whistle, and off we go once again.
Tell me, please.
Now Nathan, tell me a little bit about this bank we're going to go up to Tendon. It's one of the steepest in the country.
Yes, it is one of the steepest. One of the most steepest parts is about 1 in 38, if I remember correctly. It's considering these engines are very small engines, they do like to work quite hard going up the hills. So yes, it's quite a feat to get an engine up the hill. Quite a bit of job satisfaction once you get there. Checking out the signal coming out in a minute.
So we're just
looking. Have we, Lambie? I can't see at the minute. Yeah, I see it, got the road. And yeah, crossing clear this side. What engines have got, they've got, you've got pilot valve and main valve. So the regulator is like a two-stage. So when you open it up, at the moment, that's full pilot, so we're whizzing along quite nicely.
And here we go up the start of the bank.
Yep. This isn't the steepest bit. The steepest bit is coming up towards the level crossing at Tenterden. About 1 in 29, I think, at that point. About 1 in 29, isn't it, Brendan?
1 in 37.
Oh, sure there's a bit of 1 in 29.
1 in 37 is the steepest bit.
Give me that bit out.
How do you judge the speed on a locomotive?
We don't have speedos on here, but normally when you're going along between the telegraph poles, if it's about 5 seconds between telegraph poles, that average out at roughly about 25 miles an hour. Still not shut.
So we're coming up on the Cranbourne Road crossing.
Green flag.
Green flag is being shown. And we can now approach at speed to keep the ball rolling.
Yep. A lot of momentum to get up the hill, even light engine.
Right, so we basically gone up to Tenterden. We've got ourselves some Pullman carriages.
Yep.
Yep, we have indeed.
We've now got to transport them down to Northern, running empty except for the waiting staff on board and all their food preparations at a gentle speed.
Yes.
To keep everything stable.
We don't want to spill the soup because Meg gets very upset.
That's Meg the chef.
Yep, that is Meg the chef. Wonderful chef. Does some lovely food.
So Brendan, I don't know if you can talk as we come down.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit.
It's just obviously a different kettle of fish now. We've got 150 tonnes on the other end of the engine and we're descending a steep gradient.
That's correct. So basically I'm trying to keep the speed steady and constant and keep the brakes very gently rubbing all the way down. But now we're just approaching Cranbrook Road, so I'm now looking for the green flag from the crossing keeper, which means I can go past the stop wall and it's safe to continue. Then we've got a slow ride down for a soup delivery because Meg will give him soup. Because poor Cranbrook crossing keeper doesn't get much else. Come on, green flag. There we go.
Green flag.
Green flag.
That's the acknowledgement of the green flag shown by the crossing keeper.
Okay then, he was going to have a go at firing.
We'll have a go. We'll see if we can get it right.
Yeah. One thing clear.
A little bit unsteady, but there we go.
That's alright, that's not bad. One little bit to the right.
Spreading it all over nice and easy.
See, there's a nice big hole appearing there where it's gone out. We'll try to fill that. So, middle right.
Middle right, I see it, yes.
Right, we've got it. And then one back left.
Back of the.
Back left, back.
This back one. Left.
Back is the rear bar. Everybody gets that mold. Don't worry.
One more for luck.
One more for luck. Lovely.
And then tidy up a bit.
Yeah. Otherwise you end up with a cab floor full of coal and it becomes a trip hazard for you.
Carl will have to agree to this and then one parliament is appointed and then he's given specially filled out paperwork which he has to then show to me. And a parliament badge, which is on his left arm. So basically, this signalman. This signalman basically replaces the token.
Absolutely.
And I saw the handover where you very closely inspected the paperwork, see if it was signed off.
Absolutely. Yes, you always bring all the paperwork, checking the times, the names of the signalman, etc., etc. Because we're working slightly deregulated because we're about to pass the up section signal at danger, which he has given me permission to do via the rolling and signal.
And that's just an acknowledgement of that procedure. So we're now going on to the Tenderden Bank once again, heading back up to Tenderden Town Station via Cranbrook Road crossing. We've got a full head of steam, about 150 tonnes on the rear, and a fair bit of regulator now. See the green flag from the gatekeeper at the Cranbrook Road crossing, which means we can proceed at full speed through this section, which is around 20 miles an hour.